All right, welcome back to All Things Reconsidered live here on Jimp Radio. I am Andy Michaels. You know, for the past couple of years, Karina Reichman, the bass player for Marco Benevento, has been living her best life. Since our last conversation in 2017, she has captivated audiences worldwide with her epic bass solos, impressive improvisational skills, and seemingly never-ending energy. And joining me now on the line for the second time is Karina Reichman. Karina, how you doing?
Hi, Andy. I'm good, my friend. How are you?
Do you like that little intro? I worked really hard on that.
I liked it a lot. I mean, yeah, I can't complain. Thanks so much.
All right. So since the last time we spoke, like I said, you've become quite the household name in our little community here. So my first question, how is the celebrity life treating you?
Yeah. I mean, it isn't, but thanks for saying so. Things are good, man. I don't know. We're playing to really fervent audiences all around, and I'm super grateful that, you know, people keep coming to the shows and have super lovely things to say, much like yourself, and just love to play. So it's an honor to keep doing it for people who appreciate it all around, with Marco, with my band.
Right.
With whoever, it's been super, super humbling. It's an amazing, amazing thing.
Right. I mean, you've had a birthday recently. I think like late November, right? If you don't mind my asking, how old are
That's
you?
That's right.
How old are you right now?
I'm 25.
25. God, and I just
old as the hills, man. Old
fuck
as dirt.
That. Fuck
know,
that.
The whole thing.
I just turned 30 a couple weeks ago. You want to talk old?
I'm. Mazel tov. How's it feel? You feel good?
Oh, I feel terrible. It's horrible.
Oh, man.
Yeah.
Sorry. Achy joints, bones,
right, exactly.
Whatever.
Right. So since the last time we talked, you've been traveling a lot. Tell me some of the places that you've been and some interesting stories and some of these awesome places that you've been to around the world.
Oh, man. Like, as of late? Yeah. I went to this whole year, like, you know, saw the fish run at MSG, and then literally the very next day, so January 1st, went to Turks and Caicos for 7 days, and then, you know, a few days later, I went on tour for 2 weeks, and that, you know, I call it tourcation, because, you know, playing with Marco and Andy and, you know, Jeff and Julian, our crew, it's like, you know, just being surrounded by your best friends all the time, and it's the best. It's so much fun. So had a great tourcation. And then was home for 2 days, then flew to Colombia for a wedding, which was crazy. And then was home for another week and a half, and then went to Mexico for fish, and then came back and have just been making music and just working with a producer and working with my band and just doing all this stuff, trying to, you know, really get some music going. And it's been a really excellent year thus far, Andy, I got to say. It's been a good little winter here. I think winter, I don't know, I seem to get really busy in the summertime, and, you know, things just kind of pop up here and there.
Right.
So, I don't know, in these kind of dead months, I was making the best of it. What can you say? It's cold in New York. So, you know, if you can go on a couple little excursions here and there for various reasons and purposes, mainly fish.
Yeah.
Tour, it's great. It's super excellent. So I can't complain. I'm very, very blessed, very lucky, and very thrilled with how the first portion of the year shaped up.
What was it like in Colombia? I mean, I've never been there.
It's nuts, man. It's nuts. It was Cartagena. It was super beautiful. My friend asked me, RJ, shout out to RJ.
Ah.
Love you, buddy. He asked me, you know, a bunch of months ago. He was like, hey, Karina, like, you know, my friend's getting married in Colombia. He's marrying a girl from down there. Do you want to plus one of the wedding? Like, you know, just as a pal. I was like, yeah, dude.
Yeah.
Sounds great. Like, why not? So
nice.
I'm all about, you know, sometimes life presents you some options, and sometimes you just got to say yes. And also a country I'd never been to, and it was a really beautiful time. The wedding was awesome, and everything was super fun. Of course, it was a couple I didn't know, as I was just going as a friend of my friend. And
right.
The first dance was to Waste by Fish.
Aww.
I'm like, wow, I'll never go to a wedding that isn't a Fish wedding, huh?
Right, right.
Felt very familiar in all these ways. It was very fun. Cartagena is beautiful. It's amazing. It's like a beautiful beach city that's insane, and the old city is just, you know, majestic, and a lot of culture, a lot of good stuff going on down there, and amazing food. I had a great time. I had a really wonderful time.
Which was more beautiful, there or Mexico?
It's complicated. You know, they're different, yeah. Obviously, but just because it's more recent and more vivid in my mind, I'm going to go, like, you know, I hung out with my friend at the house in Tulum, Josh Raskin. Shout out to Josh Raskin. He had a house in Tulum. So basically me and, you know, him and my friend Isaac and, you know, a lot of our friends just stayed at my friend Josh's house and then commuted from Tulum to the fish shows every night, which is just a half an hour away. And it was, I had never been to Tulum before. I've actually only been to Mexico for fish the last time, mm-hmm. or rather the first time they did it. So anyway, it was super, super fun, you know, and I got to really see Tulum, and it's a place that definitely has my heart.
Nice.
Beautiful stuff going on down there, and the strip on the beach and all these shops and juices and fresh everything. It's real good.
Awesome.
Yeah, I'll go with Mexico, but, you know, I don't like to compare the countries. It's all, you know, everything's great. It was a pleasure to be in both those places. They are just beautiful.
Right. All right, so let me ask you this, and this is a tough question. Did you, you know, growing up, did you ever imagine, did you ever see yourself being in the position that you are right now?
That is a hard question. I never like to, you know, when people are like, where do you see yourself in 5 years,
right.
or like things of that sort, I never, you know, really subscribe to this question, but I'm such a person who literally just thinks about the day and the next day and doesn't look back on the past week even. Like, I couldn't tell you what I had. I could tell you what I had for dinner last night, but maybe not the night before, you know? It's
right.
just always kind of in the moment and just tackling the very things in front of you before you move on to the next thing. So, I don't know. It's a hard question to answer. I don't know. I just wanted to play music and I wanted to perform in one way or another, you know, depending on what age you're asking. Like, when I was 5 or 6, I would have told you I wanted to be an actress or a singer or something like that before I found the guitar when I turned 12,
mm-hmm.
12, 13, something like that. So, and then it's all like, I don't know. This all kind of arose from a very honest place. In my heart, I just, like, once I found the guitar, I feel like everything else melted away. I played sports growing up. Like, I played tennis and soccer, and I was the fastest kid in the class, and I was super into that. Like, we used to race each other, and I was super fast and, like, athletic and whatnot, and that all melted away
mm-hmm.
as soon as I picked up a guitar. Just forgot about everything else. Like, nothing else mattered, and it was just music, 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 guitar, guitar, guitar. You know, there's a good story when, you know, my mom... Actually, my uncle bought me my first electric guitar for my birthday, and they, you know, were checking us out. It wasn't anything special. It was like a, you know, Ibanez, whatever. And I was like, oh, you know, we should get a gig bag for an extra, whatever it was, 30, 50 bucks or whatever. And my mom was like, wait, gig bag? What? You're not going to take this thing out of the house, are you? And of course, the next week I'm in a band and going to rehearsals. You know, and just taking it everywhere. It became
right.
my entire life. And I still have that gig bag, actually. It has my name written on it about 100 times.
Nice.
So, anyway, to answer your question, it's just, no, I couldn't have imagined it because I never really, it wasn't even about imagining stuff. It was about just day by day digging so deeply into music and doing exactly what made me happy, which was playing and listening to music and going to see music and just immersing myself in this world and meeting the people who live it,
right.
you know, led to all this. So I don't know. It's truly something, but I couldn't have imagined it. I guess that's the answer to your question. No, I could not have imagined.
So
I wasn't imagining much. I was just living.
Right. So you live your life, you know, day by day. But now that you are doing what you're doing, do you see yourself doing this for the rest of your life? Do you see yourself being a musician for the rest of your life? Or are you still just like, hey, let's see what happens every day? You know, next week I might be a, you know, stock trader or something. or are you
definitely don't see me trading any stocks.
Okay,
no, definitely.
All right.
Yes. No, that's basically to the answer to that question is yes, I do see myself playing music for the rest of my life in whatever capacity that may be. So, you know, once you get by this bug, Andy. It's pretty intense, I gotta say. And I felt it from a very young age, like just being on stage with a guitar, or I mean with a bass now, but I started on guitar, you know, mm-hmm. just felt like the most natural thing mm-hmm. in the world to me. And it's a high unlike any other. I mean, for me personally, some people can't stand being on stage, but I live for it. And once you get that feeling, just a taste of that feeling, like I think I'll spend my whole life chasing it. Absolutely.
I mean, just watching you play, the last and only time I've seen you play live was the last April in Grand Rapids, and that was a fucking amazing show. We broadcasted it live here on Jump Radio, and just seeing you play up there, you know, so full of energy and jumping around and everything. I mean, you're clearly loving what you're doing. What is it like up there with Marco and Andy?
It's amazing being up there. It's incredible. It's just, I don't know. I say it all the time. You know, I could have joined, you know, any band where the music doesn't resonate with me. I don't feel like myself on stage. I have to put on a persona, you know. Musical director could be like, hey, could you tone it down?
Right.
You have to wear leather pants. You have to wear makeup. You have to do your hair like this. Like, you know what I mean? I could have joined any, I don't know, I could be in, I don't have a good example, but whatever. I could have joined Evanescence and had to be like a total something I'm not, if
right,
you know
right.
what I mean. And
right.
with Marco, I said this to a friend the other day. I have a gig that feels so, like, I'm a hired gun, but I feel like the music resonates with me so deeply and profoundly, and it does it for me, and it makes me so happy. Marco's, like, music is so joyous, mm-hmm. and to get to play it and to improvise with them, and just, especially, and on the new stuff that's coming out, you know, he has a new record coming out in September, mm-hmm. and I've, you know, been around for the process of all those songs kind of taking form, and whatnot. It just feels like music that I would want to write, if you know what I mean. Like,
right.
it just feels completely synonymous with who I am.
Mm-hmm.
And that's incredible. There are so many hired guns who are like, oh yeah, whatever, like blah, blah, blah. We get up on stage, we play the notes, and then we get off, and that's a paycheck. I don't think of it that way for a second. Like, I'm grateful every day that this was the band that I joined. I'm grateful to be in any band, but, you know, I can't even believe. It's too cosmic. And Marco's energy and my energy and, again, the energy of the band and crew, like Julian Booker, our sound guy, and Jeff Volkang, our light guy, we laugh our way across the country. We really do. It's something to behold. And the whole thing just couldn't have been more spot on for my personal energy and the way I like to play music. So very grateful, Andy. Very, very grateful.
How many pairs of white pants do you all have? How many pairs of those white pants do you have? I mean, tons of white pants. I can't wear white pants, for Christ's sake. Not many people can, but you guys are up there with white pants. How are you managing that?
Good question. Actually, you'll never believe it. For the longest time, this entire time, up until this very last show, which was a week ago at Leave on Helm's Barn,
uh-huh.
I was wearing the exact same pair of white corduroys for the entire time. You look at any photo of me from whenever it was that we started wearing white,
yeah.
as opposed to stripes, till now, and it was the exact same pair of pants.
Wow.
And then it was actually my mother, bless her heart, she came over, she lives uptown, I live downtown, whatever, she came and bought me a pair of white pants, thanks mom, and dropped them off with my doormat and was like, here, you know, those pants, they need to go, they have seen better days. And she just got me a very nice present, some new white pants that are actually, they're a little on the tight side, but I'm trying to loosen them up, and I wore them when we played Levon's last week. So, so now I would say I have two, because I'm actually not going to throw away the first ever. Because they've seen in a bind. They just, you know, they've definitely seen better days. But, you know, here's the trick, Andy, you dinner in the white. Don't do it. You just don't. Like, don't get dressed before we go out to dinner, before the gig, you know, because, you know, you spill a meatball in there.
Yeah, that's
or more
it.
Likely some cocktail sauce.
Yeah.
And it's just all over. So we don't want that.
Gotcha.
We don't want that.
All right. Well, now you have another pair just in case. So.
Exactly. That's the vibe.
I don't know if we need to set up some sort of charity thing to send Karina more white pants, but I don't know, maybe that's not a good idea.
More white pants. Or like maybe like a Tide sponsorship,
right.
Like a bleach.
There you
like
go.
A Clorox.
Yeah. Get you up
that's
there with
a good
the,
idea.
With
I'm going to holler at them after this interview.
Yeah, get up there.
Yo,
with
Clorox.
The Tide
I need
pen.
Your help.
Right. All right. So one of the biggest things that has happened to you in the past year, I think, would be your beautiful moment up there sound checking with Fish, sans Mike, on stage at Madison Square Garden. How the hell did you manage that? I know that you and Trey, you guys obviously, you know, go back. You're friends of the family, but being able to be up there, and from what I understand, it was just you up there for you know the beginning, just playing with Mike's rig, and then the rest of the boys came up. How did that happen?
Right on. No, it was definitely probably the craziest thing to ever happen to me. I mean, if you really want to break it down like that, but yeah, long story short, Mike's been, you know, for the past year or so being like, you got to come check out the rig. You got to come check out the rig. And he and his tech, Mike Burns, they've been just like digging in and putting new shit on it and like doing all kinds of crazy stuff. And it really was a thing to behold. So cut to that day, which was, I believe, the 30th, right?
Yeah.
December 30th, 2018. I go and, you know, it's the day where I go and check out Mike's rig. And so we're there and it's just me, Mike, and Mike Burns, the tech. And we're looking, he's just showing me all these cool buttons and bells and whistles and just incredible things. Like for me as a bass nerd and a gear nerd, just to see everything that they've done with his rig and just the limitless things he could possibly do up there. It's insane. He does like a tiny fraction of what he could do. It's pretty insane. Anyway, I'm up there. We're playing just me, Mike, and it's all incredible. I'm just humbled to be standing on stage at Madison Square Garden with, you know, the bassist of my favorite band. And then, like, all of a sudden, because this is pre-soundcheck, then Trey walks on and he just goes, Karina? And I'm like, Trey. And he's like, what are you doing up here? And I say, I'm testing Mike's rig. And then Mike chimes in. He's like, I've been meaning to show her my rig for quite some time. And then Trey goes, oh, awesome. And then he goes over to like the rack of effects, like right to the left of Mike. And he just goes, you know, Zach Bella's boyfriend. That's his daughter's boyfriend. I'm like, yeah. And he says, I got him this pedal for his birthday. Check this out. And then he like, activates one of these pedals that's on Mike's rack, basically. I still have the bass on, so then it gets a super dope tone, or I'm like, wow, 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 whatever, and I start jamming a little bit, and then Trey's face, like, lights up, and he gets a huge smile on his face, and then he runs over to his side of the stage and picks up his guitar and starts playing, and then, like not even a second passes, and then out of nowhere, Fishman just kicks it on the one. And I'm like, holy shit, Fishman's here. And then, you know, a few seconds into that, Paige shows up and starts hitting, like, playing an A chord or whatever on the fucking Hammond. And I'm just like, oh, shit. Oh, shit. Oh, my God. Anyway, it was
so,
and then, you know, for the next 3.5-4 minutes, I'm just jamming at Madison Square Garden as the bass player in Fish while Mike films it on the side. it was pretty, yeah, I mean, I can't even, I don't know if I have the words, Andy. It was really, I couldn't even believe that. And then when it was all over, like, you know, we ended it, whatever. I give the bass back to Mike. I run over to Trey, give him a hug, like, you know, say thank you so much. And he just goes, I've been wanting to do that with you forever. And I just go, yeah, me too, dude. Like, what? Anyway. Right. Blew my mind, because, and as many people have said to me since that happened, which is definitely the same for me, you know, people have been like, I've literally had that dream, like literally, you know, when you're like sleeping and dreaming, you know, and I quite literally have had that exact same dream so many times since I was very, very young. And like, it's just that, you know, it's beyond words. It's beyond the capabilities of my wildest imagination. I really couldn't believe it. And then of course afterwards, I'm walking down, like, I leave the garden, this is at, like, you know, 3:30 4 p.m and I'm walking down 7th Avenue down to my apartment, and I call my mother. I'm like, she's like, Karina, where are you? Me and your dad are at Barney's, we're looking for a cell on some good ball, whatever. And I'm like, Mom, I just sound checked with Fish. And she just goes, holy fuck, John, Karina just sound checked with Fish. And I just hear my dad in the background go, holy fuck.
Nice.
And then, of course, I'm walking into telephone poles and just, like, completely dazed. Like, I'm shaking. I'm confused. I don't even, like, I'm just like, what? I don't even, and then I, me and my roommate, we put up a lot of people. Like, just our friends from out of town when they come to town for Fish. And so our house was just full of people. And I get home after not telling them where I was going, because I was just like, I didn't want to jinx it. You know what I mean? I knew I was going to go do something pretty cool, but I didn't want to be like, I'm going to go test Mike's rig right now. Whatever. So I show up and I have the video. Mike sends it to me right away. And we sit down on the couch and I'm just like, guys. And they're like, what? And then, like, a whole bunch of people swarm around me to watch this on my phone. And, and then they're just like, what? Anyway, everybody was shocked. And I was shocked. I couldn't even speak. And then even more people showed up at my house. And I was just like, I put it on the big TV in our living room. And I was just, anyway, we were dying and couldn't even process what had happened. Still can't, honestly. It's too much. It's really the way that all... Anyway, you get it. It's just crazy. It's literally just crazy.
God, that's awesome.
Very, very humbled, and I don't even know what to say. I don't have the words for that. I really don't. And I don't think about it day to day necessarily, but then when somebody reminds me of it, I literally, like, just get chills all over again. I'm just like, oh, God.
Yeah.
That literally happened. Like, what? That happened? Oh, God. Anyway, craziest shit that ever happened to me. File it under that.
And the fact that happened, the fact that, you know, the boys went up there and started to play with you, and, you know, Trey says that he's been wanting to do that for a while, Mike's been wanting to show you his rig for a while. I mean, clearly you are something in this community. It's Women's History Month, so I was thinking of some of, like, the, you know, the best female bass players, Tina Weymouth, Kim Gordon, and I'm thinking, okay, you know, how long is it going to take before Karina Reichman ends up on that list, you know, when the blogs, when Jam Bass or whatever does, you know, an article, we look back at some of the best female bass players, you know, when is Karina Reichman going to end up on that list?
I don't know, man. We'll see. Let's see. I have no idea, but I would be honored to be named, you know, one of those among, as you mentioned, Kim and Tina and,
I mean, you're often,
you know,
compared...
Tal Wilkinfeld, of course, and et cetera, et cetera. Yeah, it would be an honor, of course.
You're often compared to Tina quite a bit, right?
Yeah, because I'm blonde and a chick.
Right, and you play bass. There you go. That's it. You're Tina.
Yeah.
Let's, is it possible, like, I've thought about this before, let's try to take Fish and fill the four roles with just girls, and I've thought about, okay, well, bass would be Karina Reichman. Who do you think would be up there playing, you know, lead guitar and keyboards and drums? Can you think of anybody that would be up there in the female Fish with you, or mostly female Fish?
Well, let's see. It's a bizarre question, but I like it. All right, me on bass. You want to go there? Sure, let's go there. Okay, right. Me on bass, Holly Bowling on keys.
Ah, perfect.
I guess Reyna on guitar, right?
Well, I don't know, because I thought...
Orianti? I don't know.
I've heard that Reyna isn't really that much of a Fish fan.
All right, well, there you go. There you go.
Hmm.
That's a tough one. Oh, you know who? I mean, and I don't know if she's a huge Fish fan, but what's her name? The girl from Larkin Poe. Do you know this Larkin Poe? They're wild. She's an amazing guitar player. Anyway, yeah, either her or Yancey. That's a bad example because I don't know if she's heard a lick of Fish in her life, but she's a slamming guitar player.
Uh-huh.
I don't know. Who do you have for the guitar slot? Who do you got?
That is a tough one. Because, I was thinking Raina,
too. The guitar slot's tough.
Yeah. All right, yeah, Raina or Larkin.
Let's go with
Larkin.
Raina. Come
right.
on,
okay,
give it to her.
Yeah,
it'll be great.
Yeah,
great
Raina.
Band. It's already half a Ghost Light, too. Come on.
Yeah, exactly.
Good, good. Right. And then Nikki Glaspie on drums, and we are a crushing unit right now.
There you
That's
go.
It.
Yeah.
Boom.
And for female Fish, instead of the PH, it could just be an F.
That's good. That's good. You're thinking now.
Right.
Thinking now.
Right. tell me about the Carina Reichman experiment. This sounds awesome.
Carina Reichman experiment, man. Yeah it is. It really kind of, it's so funny. It just like in the last year, it has gone from me and my two pals from NYU, who I basically enlisted to just jam with me a bunch before doing this gig I put together that was going to be an hour of improv with me, Medeski, Billy Martin, Nels Klein and Marco and me on bass. Mm-hmm. And I was like, oh shit, that's a pretty heavy lineup right there. I better be improvising daily, like a lot with other people. So I just called my pals and was like, hey guys, like, let's jam. Mm-hmm. Let's jam often. And then through doing that, I was like, oh shit, this is really cool. So literally every gig we played last year, which, you know, I think it was like five or so, but we played Broken Comes Alive with Robert Walter and Dave Harrington. We played a post J-Rad show with Nels Klein and Skerrick, mm-hmm. as special guests. And then we did Brooklyn Bowl, just the three of us. And we did New Blue, just the three of us. And the second time at New Blue was a post Fish gig, and that sold out in advance. And that was insane. And so, you know, for a thing that was completely, like, from top to bottom improvised, like, not even song launch pads, nothing, like, nothing. It's gone from that to, you know, this year, just been working on tunes and, you know, chipping away at the stone. And I'm working with this producer who's just, you know, a dear friend from high school, brilliant kid. Gabe Monroe is what he goes by. Mm. Gabe Monroe. He's amazing. And just been working with him and kind of getting like song ideas together and whatnot. And he's just can manipulate the software so well, you know, stuff that I can't do, but I come to him with ideas. And he's like, oh, that's good. That's good. And then I say, all right, you know, these next four bars, drop the bass out, then put the bass back in and then go halftime here and then double time here. And then, you know, go from A to B flat here, whatever it is, you know?
Mm-hmm.
And it's been a very, like, excellent little bunch of time where I've just, like, kind of been creatively going for it and doing stuff with Gabe, bringing, like, song ideas, you know, that are kind of hyper-produced and, like, almost electronic and blah, 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 with live instruments. Like, I play guitar and bass and synths and whatnot all over that stuff. And then I'll bring it to my band and I'll be like, check this out. And then we kind of have a whole new song that develops from that. Played with, you know, and like a live arrangement and whatnot. So it's been very, very cool, and I'm super stoked on it. And it's my two friends, Adam November on guitar and Chris Corsico on the drums.
Mm-hmm.
And we are going to headline Wolf Trade, which is a beautiful club here in Williamsburg, on April 10th. And I'm super pumped on that. And just announced I'm bringing it out of the state for the first time, going to Portsmouth, New Hampshire.
Nice.
I believe that's Saturday, May 18th. And then about to announce, I can't drop it now, but two dates surrounding that one. It's basically a little weekend run in the Northeast.
Sweet.
And those two shows get announced on Tuesday. So nice. Not going to blow up the spot quite yet, but one of them is in the place where Fish is from,
uh-huh.
and the other is a place we shit, can't even come up with a good example. Anyway, there are two gigs in the Northeast, so it will amount to three gigs in the Northeast. ? And Portsmouth, New Hampshire.
Nice.
And I'm super, super stoked. And it's just crazy, like, since I announced that Rough Trade show, and
yeah.
I have no manager, no agent. It's all just me. And I'm getting all these offers, and got an offer from Nashville and an offer from Greensboro, North Carolina, an offer from Atlanta, and I'm just like, holy shit.
Dude,
people want this.
People fucking,
and also,
yeah,
there's no recorded music that's out to my name right now.
Right.
So people are just going on faith or something or whatever, yeah, little videos you see here on Instagram or whatever, and they want me to come play. That's super humbling, and I'm super thrilled about that. And I'm just right now really trying to make music with these fellas, and I want to release a bunch of singles and see what happens, and just kind of put music out and keep trudging forward and, you know, putting music out under my own name, which has never happened. So
right,
that's where we're at with that, Andy. Thanks for listening to my long-winded answer about the career.
Absolutely. Absolutely. Everybody fucking loves you. And it's evident in that you're getting offers from, you know, all these places to come play. What's it like being the girl up there, you know, when you're playing with Marco and Andy and, you know, and the, your experiment, you know, you're the girl, in a primarily, male, dominated community. But over these past couple of years, you know, you've really put yourself out there and everybody loves you, male, female, you know, whatever. What is that like? And do you ever run into any sort of, I don't know, issues, you know, being the girl?
I mean, I get asked the question a lot, and it's funny just because, you know, my answer to that is not really, mm-hmm, which, and then I say, you know, I guess I should be lucky for that, but mm-hmm, then I'm like, that's fucked up. I shouldn't be lucky for that because,
right,
you know, I think, you know, a big role of mine in all of this, you know, just being the only girl and, you know, trying to be some kind of a beacon of something for women or whatever, like,
right,
you know, not intentionally, but just, you know, due to my position and all of it, is normalizing it. It's like, yeah, I'm a fucking woman. And yeah, I play bass with dudes. Like, all right, let's go. Like,
exactly,
you know, I think it just shouldn't matter at all. And it, you know, I'm very lucky.
Right.
Again, lucky, I put in quotes because I shouldn't be. Anyway, you get it.
Yeah.
But, you know, for me personally, in all the bands I've been in, which have been quite a few, you know, whether they be local or Marco or my band or whatever it is, you know, it's never been a thing.
Right.
Nobody makes me feel weird. No, like, in terms of our bands and crews, like, never been a thing, which I'm super stoked on. And,
yeah,
you know, I hope it should never be a thing for anybody, but of course it is, you know, and
right,
girls go through all kinds of fucked up shit, just because they're girls and trying to do anything.
Mm-hmm.
So that's pretty twisted, I think. And just, you know, I feel like my role in it is just not even making it a big deal, because, and the more women who come and just do whatever it is that, like, brings them joy, whether it be, you know, if my thing is playing music, but I don't know, girls should be doctors and lawyers and business executives and whatever they are.
Mm-hmm.
And people shouldn't be batting an eye about it, because if you're good at your job and you're good at what you do and do it with passion and joy and pleasure, whatever it is, then that should be good enough. And just trying to do that day by day, you know, and show that I can play bass, you know, I'm not saying as well as anybody, but just, like, you know, whether I'm a, you know, if I have a vagina or a penis, like, it shouldn't matter. Like,
right,
let's just go, whatever.
Right, right.
So yeah, no, I've been very, very, you know, I've been in very good circumstances personally. Though, I mean, of course, once in a while you get to a venue and they don't know the band or whatever, and then they just look at me, like, come out of the van, and they're like, oh yeah, the merch is, you could set up the merch over here. And I'm like, that's dope, dude. I'm so glad to know. I don't touch the merch, but thanks. And then later on, they watch me shred some big film.
Nice.
They're like, oh,
no,
shit. And then they apologize. Like, you know, again,
good,
because the merch is a quote unquote woman's role. It's so shitty,
that.
Andy. It's
right.
But whatever, you know, just trying to do my best in a man's world. What can you do? And,
but it's,
you know,
it's not a man's world, though. It's not a man's world. And the fact that just a little bit ago, like, we were, you know, thinking of, all right, all female fish, you know, music should not have any gender in it at all. But having said that, you are up there fucking killing it and crushing it. And, you know, you're a girl and definitely inspiring, tons of women as well to no doubt do what they've dreamt of. You know, from day one, and that's fucking awesome.
Well, that's amazing. And that's, you know, women do tell me that after the shows. They're just like, you don't even know how you've inspired me to do X, Y, or Z in my life and this and that. And I'm just like, I can't even believe that. But that is the unintentional slash intentional goal. I mean, I can't, you know, that's the greatest joy
right.
that I could feel from that, you know, from being a, you know, a byproduct of doing what I love to do so much. So, you know, whatever it is, ladies, just do it. Just do it. I don't know. It's tough, but I don't know. Yeah. You just got to do it and not make it a thing. And then people hopefully over time will stop making it a thing.
Right. You mentioned earlier that, you know, there aren't any albums or anything, you know, just with your name on it. But is that something that might change soon?
Yes. That's what I'm working on day by day. I'm just trying to get some tunes together, seriously. And again, working with the producer guy, it's just a revelation. So awesome. Gabe Monroe, he's just kind of making it all a reality for me. Because I, you know, I've always had lots of ideas and I like such a wide array of music and all this stuff. And I have melodies in my head and beats and this and that. And I'm just so bad with the technology. And then sometimes, you know, when wrangling actual musicians, you know, I don't know, it gets tough. And then of course I get to, you know, I'm the dude who's super like, not ADD, but I'm like, oh man, like here's a riff. Okay. Here's a riff. And I'm like, huh, I like it, but it could probably be cooler. Or like, it could probably be darker, or it could probably be happier, or it could probably, you know what I mean? Like, I'm always kind of, you know, fluctuating with ideas and stuff. So to work with one person whose job it is to sit there and be like, nope, that's the part. You killed it.
Right.
That's the part. Like, and the part is the part. And, you know, isn't that the most, you know, heady and intense thing about every piece of art and every song that you've ever heard, is that somebody had to stop fucking with it.
Right.
Somebody had to be like, that's it. That's it. Like, that's the riff. Three notes, whatever it is, seven notes, I don't know.
Yeah.
Then you just have to call it at some point. You know, every Picasso piece, you know, Pablo himself had to be like, all right, it's done. That's it. It's done. So that's been the hardest thing just for me in my life, trying to write songs and whatnot. So now to be working with my dude, just kind of trying to arrange stuff and call a spade, if you will. It's been cool. It's been amazing. And then, of course, like I mentioned, very cool to go from working with one person to bringing it to my live band and seeing how the live arrangement would be and whatnot. So, yeah, I'm really, yeah, day by day. And it's been crazy. This last week, it's been like, one day on, one day off, one day on, one day off of like, you know, Monday I'm with Gabe, Tuesday I'm with Adam and Chris, Wednesday I'm with Gabe, Thursday I'm with Adam and Chris, like just et cetera, just going back and forth. It's like a kind of cool creative renaissance for me, I think. So I'm just really trying to do it and trying to make these shows, you know, in April and May go off and have actual launch pads for jams and not just 100% jams all the time.
Mm-hmm.
You know what I mean? So that's what we're going for. That's the goal. And yes, I hope to have some Carina Reichman music for mass consumption out there real soon.
How do you?
And by real soon, I mean eventually.
Right. Yeah. How do you keep yourself from burning out right now? You're go 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 all the time. You even said, you know, your vacations, you're are not just really vacations. So how do you keep yourself from burning out and just saying, you know, fuck it, leave me alone for a while?
Well, I'm pretty good at that too, I gotta say.
Ah, okay.
You know, and it's you know, if you look at the scope, like this is, what month is it? March? Right.
Yeah.
I was on tour for 2.5 weeks or whatever, whenever that was. But other than that, you know, it's not like I've been on tour for 2 months where it's really intense.
Mm-hmm.
And at the end of that 2 week tour, I came home and I slept for 22 hours, like straight. I basically missed a day.
Nice.
So, you know, I don't know. I don't like drink much.
Mm-hmm.
I don't do any weird drugs. Like I really am very like, you know, when I'm home, I'm going to the gym and kind of trying to eat well and sleep well. Like I'm very self-protective in that way. You know what I mean? And of course, like everywhere I go, people are like free booze, like shoving drinks in my hand. And I'm like, oh, sweet. And then maybe I'll have a sip and put it down somewhere. Like whatever. If I'm not feeling it, if I'm feeling it, then I'm feeling it.
Right.
you know what I mean? Like, of course, this is a crazy industry to be in, and people can burn out real quick if you, I don't know, if you kind of do everything in excess. Right. But I don't know, I feel like I have tons of energy just naturally, and I am pretty ambitious naturally. I don't like to really fuck with anything chemically because I like the way things have been in my life, and I'm not looking to change that. So just trying to, you know, stay on the straight and narrow while doing just as much music making as possible, because that's what makes me happy. And also, like, it does make me happy that if in a day, you know, I have lunch with one person, you know, rehearsal with my band, dinner with another person, you know, go to a show, then work with the producer. Like, I like my days to be stacked, but stacked in the way that I've crafted for my life. Mm-hmm. You know what I mean? Like, I made this somehow, you know what I mean? Where my whole existence is just peppered with interesting musical people and events. And I just like to create more and more of them, you know? So like last week I sit down with producer guy, I'm like, what days are you free next week? And my calendar suddenly becomes full of that. And then I go to my band, I'm like, what days are you free next week? And suddenly, you know, and then tomorrow morning I'm playing tennis from 9 a.m. to 11:30, trying to just, you know, stay active and do all those things. I don't know. I take care of myself, man. That's the real question. The real answer is I'm not like, people think I'm a total lunatic because I come in hot a lot of the time. Right. But I really, like, am pretty measured. I like drinking echinacea tea and fucking, you know, getting 9 hours of sleep when I can. You know what I mean? Like, I really just value sleep, eating well.
How the hell do you stomach all those oysters, man?
Because also they'll keep you young. They'll keep you from burning out. Let me tell you, they won't help your gout or your mercury poisoning. But man, feeling like a million bucks. It's great. And you know what? If I get mercury poisoning, I deserve it. What can you say? It's great, man. We just keep on eating the oysters. And it's become a thing, you know. So there are literally, like, there's this amazing you know, group called the Freaks Action Network. It's like a, you know, basically once a year they have this, I forget what they call it, the Freaks Action Ball or free. I mean, no, there's the Freaks Ball. It's a different thing. But there is a thing that happens towards the end of December where it's basically like a charity benefit auction where they pick a charity and then they get a bunch of people to donate various services or experiences or tickets or whatever it is, you know. So now 2 years in a row, people have literally bid on the item, eat a seafood tower with Carina Reichman. And
yeah, what the fuck?
I can't even believe it. And actually, believe it or not, this Wednesday, that my dear friend Andy Bernstein, who is the CEO and founder of Headcount, actually won the auction. Bless your heart, Andy. You're doing something good. So Andy and I are going to shove down, you know, hopefully a metric ton of shellfish on Wednesday at 6 p.m. So wish us all luck, and we'll send you pictures.
Yeah,
sure.
Well, this Andy will never participate in that. But hey, more power to you.
It's going
to
be something, man. It's going to be something. We'll see. We'll see. So, yeah, I mean, now that I'm out here just, you know, posting photos of all the season, I'm very lucky that, you know, Marco and the whole band and crew are equally as obsessed with oysters as I am. Because we eat a lot of them on the road, which, you know, beats Taco Bell, right?
Oh, yeah, I guess. Yeah.
So that's pretty cool, and now that it's become such like a funny thing and everybody asks me about it, like, it just is the gift that keeps on giving, because people are like, I'm taking you out for a dozen oysters, you out for a dozen oysters, and I'm like, oh, this is the best. You know what, Andy, per your question earlier, like, could I have imagined my life turning out like this? Maybe that's the part that is the most true, because as a young child, just eating shellfish by the pound, I could have never guessed that it would have come to this. And people would be asking, slash, you know, I would be donating. The act of eating a seafood tower with me would become a charity, like an auction item. And people would be comping seafood towers, you know, for charitable purposes because of all this. So anyway, that is pretty interesting. And I'm all about it.
Well, when you do succumb to mercury poisoning, whatever, we'll listen back to this interview and remind you of the fact that, you know, you said he deserved it. So
I definitely do. I mean, God, it's got to be a day away by now. The fact that I don't have gout yet is really something.
Yeah, I don't think you can be jumping around on stage the way you do with gout. So.
We'll see.
Tell me about your upcoming show at Rough Trade. That looks like it's going to be a big deal. Karina Regman Experiment, April 10th at Rough Trade. Tell me what you do. You have anything planned, or is this going to be 100% pure improv?
No, it will definitely be. I guess kind of the live debut of a bunch of actual tunes mm-hmm. that we have written together,
nice.
And that I have written separately and brought to the band. Bunch of covers. I'm super looking forward to it. And I handpicked the opener, my dear friend Elijah Fox, with actually Gabe Monroe, the producer who I've been working with, on bass, because believe it or not, he is one of the better bass players I've ever had the pleasure of knowing and seeing. And he's incredible. So I was like, oh, that's perfect. We'll keep it all in the family, get the Elijah Fox trio going on, then the Karina Regman Experiment, and my dear friend Chris Tart will be DJing between sets and before and after the gig to keep the party rolling. So I'm super excited about it. And Rough Trade is an amazing room here in Williamsburg that I've seen lots of spectacular shows at and I've played at as well. And I love the room, love the acoustics. And I actually, because I'm a complete lunatic, I decided to hire our LD from Marco Tour, Jeff Volkhausen, and our front of house engineer, Julian Booker, to keep it really all in the family. So
nice.
For one gig only, we're all coming back together, basically Marco crew.
Mm-hmm.
And I'm super stoked about it, man. It's going to be a really excellent evening. My parents are coming, you know. A lot of folks that are stoked on it, much as I am. So I'm very, very excited. And I think it'll be a good evening and a good launch pad in terms of what's to come.
Are tickets still available for that show?
Oh, yes. Yes, sir. Yes, indeed. They are.
Awesome.
But apparently the on sale was super lit. So I couldn't even believe that. People are actually really buying them. So anyway, I'm super, super excited. Yes. So yes, you can still purchase tickets. It's AXS. AXS is the ticketing platform. Anyway, I'm super excited.
Awesome.
April 10th. It's a Wednesday, but we are going to go up on a Wednesday.
Sweet. How's Marco Tour going? You're, I think you just played a show just recently, and then you've got a couple more coming up here this month. How's Marco Tour going?
It's the best. We played Levon's Barn a week ago, last Saturday. It was literally spectacular, kind of mm-hmm. the stuff dreams are made of, truly, you know, because in the green room there were all these gold records and Grammys and awards and pictures of Levon and people writing, you know, stuff for Levon, all this. Anyway, it was incredible. And the, you know, there couldn't be a better vibe. And up there, you know, Marco lives in Woodstock, so he just put us up, you know, the whole band and crew, but everybody's significant others and all the kids and everything. I think there were literally 13 people in the Benevento house and just cooking, you know, big Italian family style meals and just eating all together. And it was such a magical weekend. It really was.
Awesome.
So that was awesome. And actually the next gig this month, there's only one other Marco gig this month, and it's in New Orleans, which I'm super stoked on. And it's this festival called Hogs for the Cause.
Yeah. What is that?
And we're actually going to be us and, it's us, George Porter, Trampled by Turtles, Dumpster Funk. Like, it's a cool lineup. We're actually going to be joined for that one gig only by Johnny Kimmock on the drums, who's currently on tour with Mike Gordon.
Nice.
Which we're super stoked on, and he's a dear friend, and I am completely in love with his drumming, so I'm really looking forward to being rhythm section.
This is actually
with him.
Hogs for the Cause.
Oh, sorry, that's all.
Hogs for the Cause is an amazing thing. Hogs for the Cause works with both local and national children's hospitals to offer monetary relief to families with children who have brain cancer.
That is really fantastic.
So that's March 29th in New Orleans, and then next month, April 26th and 27th, you guys have two nights in New Orleans, two different places, the Blue Nile on the 26th, and then Tippity Casinos on the 27th in New Orleans. I have a feeling you love going to New Orleans.
I really do. And I'm very, very lucky that the next three gigs with Merkel all one of my favorite places. Yeah. So that is very, very good news. We did that same Blue Nile and Tipitina's little run last year at Jazz Fest. So this is my first time being at Jazz Fest first weekend and not second, because during the second weekend we have gigs in, I believe it's the Northeast. Yeah, we're playing like Harrisburg, Pennsylvania, and D.C. and Philly and
right May 1st
something else.
May 1st, Wilkes-Barre, Pennsylvania, at the River Street Jazz Cafe. Then May 2nd, Ardmore, Pennsylvania, at the Ardmore Music Hall. May 3rd, you'll be in Jersey City at the White Eagle Music Hall. May 4th, Greenfield, Massachusetts, at Hawks and Reed. May 10th, D.C. at Pearl Street Warehouse, and then on May 11th, Harrisburg, Pennsylvania, at the Abbey. And that is a free show, so really no excuse to not be there. And then you've got one show, in June at Bethel, New York, at the Mountain Jam. Bethel, have you played
it? Exactly.
Have you played at Bethel
good
before?
One. No, never played Bethel. And actually, this is the first year that, Mountain Jam is being moved from Hunter Mountain to Bethel Woods. Mm-hmm. And it will be interesting just to see how they configure that, because we've played Mountain Jam many times, and even just, long before I was in Marco's band, just as a kid, I would go up to that festival a lot, and always a big fan of what they do. Love Warren forever. And so let's see how it goes in Bethel. I'm stoked on that. That is definitely legendary ground as well. So
and then,
that'll be cool.
And
for
then
sure.
1 month after that, on July 13th in Marshfield, Massachusetts, at the Levitate Festival. So you guys have got quite the spring tour, spring into early summer tour planned out here for Marco. Now, amongst all these dates, the Marco tour, as well as your solo shows, do you have any Fish shows on the dock for you?
I have hotel rooms booked for SPAC and for Mohegan's Sun up there. I'd also love to go to Bangor, Maine, but I'm not quite sure if that's workable. And I think I might hit a couple of those, meaning all of them, the Camden shows,
nice,
if possible. But we'll see. It's always, I always say it's better to play than to attend, So things pop up for me, last minute all the time, DJ gigs and, different various randomness. So we shall see if those are all possible. But I did reserve some rooms just to be sure. And if I wanted to go, I would have them locked in. But yeah, I hope I get to see a bunch of Fish this summer. That would be the best case scenario.
Awesome.
Do it all, right?
Right. Well, Karina,
shall see. What?
You're fucking awesome.
Sorry, that's
all. Dude, yo, please. You're fucking awesome. Great to have you on again. Great to talk to you. You're kicking ass, so keep on doing it. Keep on eating the oysters. Let's get you some more pairs of pants, because I don't know if two is going to be good enough. And
thank you.
Yeah. No, thank you. Thank you so much for coming on and chatting with me again. And best of luck to you this year. You've got quite the year planned out, it looks like. And we'll be keeping an eye on you and listening to your music, all right?
Thank you so very much. Thanks for having me, Andy. Have a great rest of your day.
Yeah, you too. Happy St. Patrick's Day. You got anything planned tonight? You're going to go out, drinking and everything?
No, I avoid that shit like the plague, dude.
Yeah,
no, I'm avoiding Midtown. Somebody gave me Knicks or offered me Knicks tickets tonight, and I was just like, or today rather, it was at noon, and I was like, hey, I have an interview with Andy, but also, you cannot get me to go to Midtown today. It will be a disaster. But I hope anybody who partakes in these things and likes to drink the green beer and the Shamrocks and yada yada is having a great time.
Yeah, I mean,
Happy St. Patrick's Day.
I will always
be avoiding it.
I always have Guinness and Irish whiskey at my house anyway, so like every day is St. Patrick's Day here. So I couldn't care less.
Oh, that's beautiful. You're doing it right.
Exactly.
You're definitely doing it right.
All right, Karina, thank you so much. Love talking to you, and take care. Okay.
You too. Thanks so much, Andy.
All right.
Bye-bye now.
Bye.